The Humana Honor Medicare Advantage Plan gives you $1,860 back each year in your Social Security check. Choose coverage that helps you keep more money in your pocket. Learn more at GetHumana.com. Humana, a more human way to healthcare. The Part B Give Back benefit pays part or all of your Part B premium, and the amount may change based on the amount you pay for Part B. Limitations and restrictions may apply. Humana is a Medicare Advantage HMO and PPO organization with a Medicare contract. Enrollment in any Humana plan depends on contract renewal.
Just got a free coffee with my EarniFi points.
Your what?
The points I get with the new EarniFi app from BP and Amoco. I got 250 for signing up and more every time I fill up or buy anything in the C-store.
Oh, can you use points for fuel?
Of course.
And discounts and deals?
On anything.
Oh, like chips?
Mm-hmm.
Sodas?
You got it.
The actual slushy machine.
Only what's actually for sale. But you do get double the points for the first 90 days. Just go to EarnifiRewards.com to download the app.
Available at participating locations only. App content is subject to change.
Welcome, everyone, to the Spotlight here on Fightful. I'm Jeremy Lambert. That's Steven Jensen. And shout out to Big Dick MLJ, as always, for the intro. It is Thursday, October 10th. We got a lot to talk about, as always, in the world of professional wrestling. First, Jensen, Vikings doing okay, seems like?
5-0, dude. 5-0 Minnesota Vikings. It's pretty wild. They are playing... Well, actually, their last game, they didn't play well against the Jets. And I apologize, y'all, if my glasses, if you can't see my eyes and stuff, I got to do a contacts refill. For those of you who know my pain with with eye problems, they won't let me get new contacts unless I do a checkup once a year. Like, they'll let you buy contacts for a full year, but at least once every 365 days, they have to do the... So, like, I'm in between now, so, like, I just haven't had the time to... get my appointment done so I can get more contacts. Thus, I am trying to work through my old glasses. But that all said, the Vikings didn't even play well this weekend, and they still beat the Jets in the UK.
Well, Aaron Rodgers is washed, so.
Well, I mean, the coach got fired, Robert Saleh. I mean, things are not looking great in New York, which is not my concern, not my problem. The Vikings are 5-0, and I don't want to sit here and talk about the Vikings for too long because I know people don't want to really hear me talk about it. I do want to give a shout out real quick before we get into everything, though, to the Aurora Law Firm in Atlanta, Georgia. They're the people who hooked me and my brother up with the tickets to Bad Blood. And they've been like super, super cool to us over the years. I told you that like they've helped us out with like Hawks tickets and, you know, concerts and stuff like that. So I told them, I was like, I want to make sure to give you guys a shout out because I never mentioned the company that does that. So the Aurora Law Firm in Atlanta, Georgia. I want to let you guys know I really appreciate y'all for everything you've done for me and my brother because we had an awesome time at Bad Blood, as me and Jeremy are going to talk about. But yeah, how are things looking for your Panthers, man? Andy Dalton didn't look too good this week, but I'm in a desperate situation in my fantasy league, and I had to play him last week, and I have to play him this week. So I'm hoping the Panthers look okay this week. But you know,
I don't even know who they're playing this week. I assume he won't be great. It was very clearly things were so bad with one player that anything was going to look better. And the Raiders aren't very good. The defense is like, you could probably start for this defense right now. That's how injured everybody is.
Yeah.
And the offensive line is now hurt. So like there's a lot of injuries and the team's just not good also. So what can you do?
At least you're acknowledging their existence today on this show. Before you've no-sold it as if you didn't even know the team was the team. So at least you're acknowledging it. And also, real quick, I want to mention before, just so I don't forget, there was one more thing I wanted to make sure it was today. I know. Yes, so Maggie, our friend Maggie, has a minor procedure. Like I think it's like a small surgery or something today. I just wanted to give her our thoughts from the show. She's one of our most loyal viewers and somebody who we're planning to have on the show in a couple of weeks live. And I just want to give everyone a heads up on that. She told me she just had like a little minor thing she had to deal with. And the reason she told me is because like if for some reason she can't make it to the show, that might be the reason. So I just wanted to say, Maggie, we love you. And, you know, hope it's just in and out. So
Maggie, I hope everything goes well for you. We love Maggie. She's always in the chat. So
yeah,
hopefully things are good with her. And yeah, and hopefully if you're in Florida, safe wishes to you. Best wishes. Stay safe as safe as you can, given everything that's going on. So, and if you're, I don't know, North Carolina, the past few weeks have also been devastated with hurricanes. So the world's not being too kind right now with the East Coast.
I don't want to gloss over that either. I do want to put my thoughts, you know, out there as well to everybody affected by these natural disasters we've been dealing with. It's been like back to back, which is very, very, very tough. I lived in Florida for a couple of years, like a decade ago. I lived in Orlando for a little while and then Daytona Beach for a little while. And so I've got good friends out that way. Some of them evacuated, some of them stayed. So, you know, I'm hoping everything is okay. Same with everyone, you know, everywhere, you know, North Carolina, anywhere you're at, you've been affected by any of this stuff. Yeah, it's no good. I will say, I did not know this existed. And this, I almost sent you this as an other topic for today. This has nothing to do with wrestling. But are you aware of the people that storm chase?
I mean, I've heard of them, like, but I can't tell you like who they are. Like, I've seen Twister.
Well, so full disclosure, I've actually never seen Twister. I remember the movie coming out in like the 90s, and I know they made a remake recently. But this is just like a hobby and like a lifestyle that I did not even know existed until like a couple weeks ago. And these people will go on YouTube and film themselves literally. Like, here's this one dude, shout out Connor Croft. This guy on I've been watching on YouTube for like the last couple of weeks. He literally puts on like a construction helmet and knee pads and like a trash bag. And they drive into the eye of the storm. Like they find the most, like the harshest conditions they possibly can. They drive out into it in a van and they literally like party in it. Like they get in the storm and just like let the hail him in the face. They wear goggles and stuff. I'm like, this is the most insane thing I think I've ever seen in my life. I've never even thought of the idea of like wanting to go towards a storm or like go towards a tornado and go into a hurricane and stuff like that. And those people are out there. So I've actually been watching that quite a bit lately on YouTube. So that's the one thing about these hurricanes that, like, I actually learned something new. I didn't even know this lifestyle existed. So,
I mean, I knew people did this. I could not imagine doing that. Not something I would do.
It's wild. Anyway, we talk about wrestling. Sorry, y'all. I just had to. There's a lot of non-wrestling stuff worth mentioning this morning, but we got plenty of wrestling stuff for you guys here today. Also, we may have a run-in by Cole Radrick today, potentially. We wanted to have him on for an interview this week because he is returning to GCW this weekend. Our schedules, it's hard to line them up. But, you know, Cole's the homie. He's been on the show. Him and Moe's are like our two most frequent guests. And if Cole can jump on here, great. If he can't, no worries either. And so we may have a short interview for y'all today. We may have no interview for y'all today, but either way, we have an interview lined up this weekend to air for tomorrow with somebody else as well. So we got stuff cooking for y'all here on the Spotlight, and we appreciate y'all for tuning in with us as always.
Guys, leave a thumbs up on the video. That helps us out. And you can donate a super chat, get your question, comment, statement read on the air. You can also subscribe to the channel where we have content just about every single day here on Fightful Overbooked. All right, let's get into it. We're gonna start with
Mana, the final boss. And here we go. This is how good. The final, god damn, that's good shit.
The Rock is back. Dork Cody. He's getting pushed to the side. The biggest star in the company besides Roman Reigns is back. The final boss. How crazy did you go, Jensen, when you heard that music?
So it was actually, so I mentioned with the Aurora Law Firm, you know, hooking me up with the seats that they did. They gave us, we were in a box. And the reason I'm mentioning this is because the guys next to us were not wrestling fans. They were just there, like, just because they had box seats. Like, I think one of them was a wrestling fan, and he brought, like, a couple of his friends. But they were like, bros, like, around our age. And the guy next to me, like, he was only kind of reacting when, like, they'd show, like, Bill Goldberg or, like, Scott Steiner. He was reacting for, like, all of, like, the old school guys that they were showing on the screen. And he, like, randomly turned to me at some point because, like, he saw, like, I was pretty into it. And I was, like, buying, like, all this merchandise. And I was like, and he was like, man, I haven't been to one of these, like, since the 90s. Like, I used to love WCW, though. So this is actually pretty cool. Like, I recognize all these guys. And I was like, oh, cool, cool. So, like, I kept that in mind, like, throughout the show. Like, when he didn't kind of know what was going on, I'd, like, lean over to him and be like, this is why everyone's going crazy. It's like, this and that's happening. And he was like appreciating that. About once an hour out of, like, the 3 hours, I'd, like, lean over and, like, kind of explain something to him. And he was like, oh, thank you. Okay, now I know what's going on. And at the end of the show, everything was done and they were about to stand up and leave. And they had been testing the smoke machine, like, after the main event. I could see, like, they would run it for a second, then turn it off. And then they, like, run it a little bit more. And I turned to the dude and I was like, you're not going to leave yet. And he was like, what? And he was like, the show's not over. And I was like, dude, I think something big's about to happen. I just keep an eye on the stage. And so they hung out for, like, you know, a little bit longer as the main event was finishing up and the whole thing was happening with Cody. And then the music hit and the dude looked over at me. He was like, yes! Like, he was freaking out because, of course, he knows The Rock. So those dudes had an awesome time. It was fun. Like, I love being, like, in the elements like that. Like, as weird as that sounds, like, I love being in, like, a crowd and, like, nobody knows I cover wrestling. Nobody knows, you know, anything about. I'm just, like, just another, which I always consider myself to be anyway. I'm just another fan just like everyone else. I'm just fortunate to have, like, some platforms here with, like, you know, with Fightful to talk about my fandom and mainly indie wrestling and stuff. But, like, I love just being in, like, a crowd of people where, like, no one knows I'm, like, this giant wrestling geek amongst all these people. And everyone's just enjoying the show. Everyone's just there just, like, you cheer for who you like, you boo for who you don't. Like, no one's fighting each other. No one's yelling at each other and arguing over ratings and TV deals and which company is better. People are just there just enjoying the show, you know? And even these guys who, like, had no idea what was going on, like, they were having an awesome time just, like, broing out and watching wrestling. And then they also appreciated that I was able to kind of fill them in a little bit on what they were confused about throughout the show too. So I had an awesome time. I met up with our buddy Gunnar Mathis, who was on the show last week showing off his Cody Rhodes collection. I can't talk about the stuff he's acquired recently, but I know he will unveil those things soon. I have seen them. His collection continues to grow and he keeps getting even more impressive stuff. Gunner's the man. I did buy a lot of I shouldn't say a lot of merchandise. I spent a lot of money on a couple items of merchandise. I did purchase one of the Cody Rhodes Georgia Nightmare weight belts that was signed. So that was
how much did that thing cost? Can I ask that?
Yeah, sure. I mean, they're $250.
Oh, that's not terrible, actually.
I mean, it's not, but it's not like people watching the show understand, but, like, to tell, like, just, like, one of my buddies who doesn't watch wrestling that I spent $250 on a belt, like, that's, you know what I mean? That's a lot to most people. I also, I don't know if you can see it above me here.
Yep. Look at that. CM Punk.
Bought a CM Punk signed promo. I did.
Fake hater.
I did. Listen, I went and bought that right after the Hell in a Cell match, which we're about to talk about. I was like, dude, that match was awesome. Like, mad respect. And then his signed promo was only $25. So I was like, okay, cool. I'm definitely buying one of these. So to all the people that think I've always given CM Punk credit on screen. You know, my issues with him have nothing to do with, like, his actual wrestling performances and wrestling stuff. It's all outside of the ring type stuff that I kind of have issue with or whatever, but in the UFC stuff a little bit, but, you know, that's all neither here nor there. as far, I'll focus in on just The Rock for a second, and then we'll kind of probably jump around Bad Blood. It was an electrifying moment, right? I want The Rock back because I think he's good for the business, for the WWE, and I'm obviously super intrigued in the idea of him versus Cody one-on-one. And I think that the way that they set this up, or a triple threat between the three of them, which is possible, I think we're gonna wind up getting a singles match between both Roman The Rock and Roman and Cody, and a triple threat. Like, we'll get a combination of like all of these things probably over time. But I like that that's kind of the cliffhanger they left you on, because I don't know exactly when the pay-per-view cut off, but I think they probably showed The Rock do the 3-2-1 throat thing. And then did it cut like right after that? Probably
just a little bit after. I don't exactly remember when, but yeah, they showed that, and then it lingered a little bit longer.
Okay. Well, yeah. So essentially that was like the last thing that, cause afterwards, you know, Cody got on the microphone and, you know, gave a speech to Atlanta and stuff like that. But, you know, that was another thing. Well, as far as like The Rock itself, that was cool. It was a great moment, great pop. I'm happy I was in the building for that. And it leaves you on that cliffhanger, as I mentioned, of like, who's he targeting? Who's this about, you know? And Cody and Roman are literally standing next to each other. Jimmy Uso is in the ring with Roman, who had also made his return during the main event. And the place went nuts for that once they realized it was him. So yeah, I will say, overall though, like the main event and the opening match, I think the Hell in a Cell match was by far the best match on the show. Like, I'm not going to sit here and like glaze Cody just because it's Cody. Like, I thought the main event was very good. I did thoroughly enjoy it, but the Hell in a Cell match was by far the best match on the show. And then everything in between, like, wasn't great. It was fun being there live, but I would imagine, I haven't looked at much feedback about this, but I'd imagine most wrestling fans probably felt the same way. They probably felt like main event and the opener were great. Then the rest of it like was kind of like filler, kind of like you're watching Raw in a lot of ways. Which we'll get to that stuff too, kind of as we go through this a little bit. But how did you feel about The Rock's return? I'm sure you've already talked about this a bit.
I mean, it was great because it proved once again that Cody's not the guy. Cody's going to end up losing this title. Here's what's going to happen, Jensen. Royal Rumble, Rock and Cody. One, two, got to count like The Rock. Three, new champion. Cody's reign is done. The Rock wins. And then we get Rock and Roman at WrestleMania 41, like we should have had last year.
So to be completely honest, like I think that's totally possible. That winds up happening. But I'm going to have to be diamond hands again going into this WrestleMania and just have faith that they know what they have in Cody. And it's an even better story for everybody involved if he's the champion from WrestleMania to WrestleMania and defends it again against Roman and keeps the title. Or sorry, defends it again against The Rock.
But he is going to defend it against The Rock just at the Rumble.
But you're saying The Rock's going to beat him, though.
Yeah.
I'm saying Cody gets to WrestleMania with the title.
Why?
Because I want him to keep being the champion.
Yeah, but
I don't have to do that. I don't have to be like any more of a justification than I think he's a great champion. He's a great face of the company. And there's no reason for him to lose the title really anytime soon. Roman had the thing for like,
he's got it till January. That's good.
Yeah. I think till WrestleMania is better. And I think him retaining at WrestleMania is even better than that.
The Tribal Chief is back. We saw who the biggest star was on Saturday. Cody got his, it's a hometown coming for Cody. He's going to get the big entrance with Arkansas Pine Bluff. Who came out last? Roman, who got the biggest pop? Roman, who were they cheering for? Who were they chanting for as Cody was getting his ass beat?
Listen, I'm not going to even deny these things. Roman, being in the building, I was a little bit surprised. I was, because
you shouldn't have been. I tried to tell you for weeks, Jensen. One day you're going to listen to me.
But it's like Atlanta specifically. I was surprised that
Roman tried to tell you. You think this is your town? You think this is your city? No. This has always been mine. All this is mine. Roman tried to tell you. I tried to tell you. you little delusional Cody fans, you don't want to listen. You're in this Cody bubble. You just think, it's all about Cody. Mm-hmm. Go outside the bubble. Going outside the bubble with Roman Reigns is how WWE's gotten as big as they've gotten. Roman saw the bigger picture, saw the brighter future in here. Cody, just, let me appeal to Atlanta. Got to win the world title for my dad. That's all that matters. He finished it. Good. Roman, what's Cody done? It's been about his family. It's been about his dad trying to win the title. What else has he done for his family? Look at Roman's doing for his family. Acknowledge.
His family's broken up.
In the chat, they're acknowledging.
His family is fighting each other. His family is in shambles.
They're acknowledging.
What has he done to his family? He's ruined his family.
Acknowledge the tribal chief.
He's been shunned from his own family.
He hasn't.
Well, the current bloodline has. The four members of
Jimmy
that
came back.
Probably The Rock.
Jimmy helped him.
Yeah, but like, we're not going to talk about the entire current bloodline of... By the way, you were pretty confident that they were gonna win in the main event, weren't you? You were like, this would be a bad idea. Like, there's no way they're gonna have like Solo and Jacob Fatu lose this main event. Like, it's gonna total. I was like, dude, there's no way Cody and Roman are lose. This was Roman's first match back since WrestleMania, wasn't it?
It was.
There was no way they're gonna lose.
I wasn't necessarily confident that they were gonna win. I thought the story was better. They won, I thought they could go in more directions. But look, if I was speaking objectively, I would have been like, "Yeah, Roman and Cody, you're gonna win. They're the two biggest stars in the company." Like,
that's fair. That is what you said. You did say the story would be better the other way. Yeah, that's all. That's fair. But regardless, I did not budge. I did not go down that path of you trying to get that seed in my head. And man, we got some people in the chat throwing up the ones. It is
that's right.
It is.
They know. Acknowledge. Look at all these people acknowledging the tribal chief.
I mean, listen.
Where's Cody's hand? What's Cody's hand gesture? Stardust? Oh, can't do that in the chat. Put your Stardust is in the chat, everybody.
Oh man, I got my gloves somewhere. I got two pairs of those Stardust gloves, and my mask hasn't made an appearance in a while. Got two of those masks too. But so what was great about this too, about this whole Roman and Cody stuff, right? Is even at the show, when I ran into Gunner, I shouldn't say ran into Gunner, when I met up with Gunner, we were talking for a second, and both of us were like, this is great because, like, there's a ton of OTC merch in the crowd. There's a lot of Roman fans, a lot of people holding up the ones. But we were like, but we're aligned on this show. Like, we're together. Like, there wasn't, the Roman fans and Cody fans weren't fighting one another or trying to say who was better or who was worse. It was... they were a team tonight and we were working together against the bloodline. So it was actually an awesome environment and really good vibes the entire night because like the Cody and Roman fans were all on the same team. So like, I don't know how often that'll happen going forward. But it was pretty awesome. Like, so you're over here, like trying to make me go against Roman Reigns at the current moment. Roman's a babyface and he's aligned with Cody. So like, Roman is not the ops right now.
He's
an ally.
No.
Right now he is.
Scare you. It should scare you that Roman is not the ops, that he's an ally. It should absolutely scare you. As a Cody fan, you were there on Saturday. You were there. You think you're aligned, but we saw the political move with Roman coming out last.
At Humana, our Medicare Advantage plans give you coverage and care you can count on, along with guided support to help you feel your best. You could have a plan with a $0 premium or an all-in-one plan that may include medical and prescription coverage, as well as routine dental, vision, and hearing. Learn more at gethumana.com. Humana, a more human way to healthcare. Humana is a Medicare Advantage HMO and PPO organization with a Medicare contract. Enrollment in any Humana plan depends on contract renewal.
Ohio, ready for some quick mental health facts? Let's go. Nearly 2 million Ohioans live with a mental health condition. In the U.S., more than 50% of people will be diagnosed with a mental illness in their lifetime. Depression is a leading cause of disability worldwide. So why are some of us still stigmatizing people living with a mental health condition when we know all of this? Let's listen to the facts and beat the stigma. Ohio, challenge what you know about mental health at beatthestigma.org.
The It seems like that would have been Cody's moment.
I think that was more logistics of the band. I think they needed to get like the whole band out around the ring and everything and set it up.
The fact, logistics. You're going to argue logistics of like, oh, the band had to. Did Roman need the band? That's the real logistic of like, was this a necessary thing that Roman needed when we already had Cody having.
We're going to sit here and like not. I think it's a better thing to say, hey, Cody helped put on this band like to the world. They did this incredible thing that went viral, and then Cody like was like, hey, I want to include this. I want you guys to come do this live. That's you great. Know, yeah, that's awesome. Yeah, it's good for them.
Yeah,
it was good for everyone. Listen, the band. Maybe I'm coping a little bit by saying it was logistical with the band, but that was my mind. That was the mental gymnastics I needed on Saturday night because I was
confused. Who got the pinfall?
That wasn't as surprising. When we were doing our predictions and stuff, I for whatever reason, it wasn't registering in my head that this was Roman's first match since WrestleMania. Like, I know that it was, but like I should have factored that in more to everything, including my Wrestle Rumble predictions, which I took Cody pinning Solo at Wrestle Rumble. I should have known that this was going to be about Roman pinning a Bloodline member. And
you said it. You just said it there, Jensen. You just said it. It's Roman and the Bloodline. This
right here is. Yeah.
Cody wasn't necessary.
Well, then Kevin Owens attacked Cody Rhodes afterwards. So they're setting that up.
You know why? You know why they did that in the parking lot? You know why they did that in the parking lot and not on screen?
Go ahead.
Do you?
Tell me. We got to guess. Tell me.
Because the crowd would have cheered. The crowd would have gone crazy for Kevin Owens attacking Cody Rhodes.
This is crazy. So, and also shout out. I saw Issa, Demon Diva. I gave her a hug. I hadn't seen her in like 10 years since WrestleMania 33 was the last time I saw Issa. I saw her coming into the building. I met Steve Fall also. At the same time, some of the media people kind of came in right as I was coming in. The reason I'm mentioning this is I saw Kevin Owens enter the building before the show. And during the show, I was like, oh, Owens wasn't on the show. Kind of strange that like he's here. And then of course that happened after the show. And I was like, that's crazy. We're going to come back to this. We got a guest jumping on. I'm going to add Adam right here. We're going to circle back to WWE. Some
driving. Please be safe.
What's up, guys?
What's up, bro? Hey, thank you very much for joining us this morning. Are you heading into your job right now or something?
No, I actually just got back from the gym. I'm heading home from the gym. I was pointing up two fingers to let you know I'm only 2 minutes away from my house.
Oh.
Nah, dude. I get it, dude.
You should have thrown the one up. Do you acknowledge the tribal chief, Cole? Yeah.
I acknowledge the goddamn New York Mets, baby. That's who I acknowledge.
How are you a Mets fan?
So I am like a baseball like casual. So I'm not a big like any fan of everybody in particular. I have three teams I follow, and I have three reasons why I follow them. The Chicago Cubs. I used to go to games when I was a kid all the time. So there's a lot of sentimental value in that. The Pittsburgh Pirates, because the Indianapolis Indians are the AA team for the Pittsburgh Pirates. So I get to see a lot of players. And then the New York Mets, because I won a T-ball championship with a T-ball team that had, like, the New York Mets hat, and I thought they were fucking sick ever since. And plus the color schemes. Come on. Come on. Come on. Come on. So I'm not like the Indianapolis Colts, ride or die, when it comes to baseball. But I will cheer for one of those three teams whenever I can.
Fair enough. The Mets are doing well. Last night, the entire series was pretty good against.
It was a very good series.
Yeah,
glad it ended at four.
I got no real dog in any fight. I like the Reds, but baseball is my least favorite of the four.
Oh
major
yeah,
sports.
Obviously.
Yeah. We got Terry Francona. You know, he won a World Series with the Red Sox. If you do that, you can win anywhere. How you feeling? Yeah.
What?
How are you feeling?
Oh, dude, we're feeling good.
Looks like you got a haircut.
Oh, yeah, brother. You know, yeah. Listen.
Now his Wi-Fi is going to cut off because his phone is like trying to like, over. It's in that weird spot of like when you get into the house or you leave the house area.
Yeah, it's going from 5G to Wi-Fi.
Yeah. Look at this photo.
That's, man, that's good.
I connected to Wi-Fi, my Wi-Fi.
There we go.
Yeah, so it all messed up.
But yeah, you know, we're just trying to feel fresh coming back. First match in almost 3 months this weekend. So yeah, man, we're getting locked in. I got a couple things I got to do before, you know, I head out of beautiful Bloomington, Indiana.
Is it really only been 3 months?
Yeah, isn't that crazy?
Dude, that feels
so fucking empty without me.
Yeah, well, it does.
How it feel so fucking empty without the ratty daddy?
Because the last time we talked to you, it seemed like a lot like more bleak. You were like, dude, I don't know when this is gonna return is gonna happen. Like, I got like muscles compensating for other muscles right now. Like, I don't know. Like, and you seem pretty down. Like, and I was gutted for you whenever they played your theme music, like when JBL debuted and everything. And I was like, dude. I was like, this has got to be killing Cole. He's on the sidelines, and like he could be cashing the brass ring right now. But I don't know if you were kayfabing us or like if like rehab just like went a lot better than you expected.
You know, there's always setbacks, especially dealing with something as tricky as leg muscles, because that's a muscle you use literally with every step. You know, we had those setbacks. I went and got, you know, second opinions and, you know, different ways to work around them or to work on those issues. And honestly, feeling going into this weekend, big match against Blake Christian, return match, GCW, Fight Club. I'm 100%. I'm very ready. I'm in the right mind space. I'm in a very, very dangerous mind space for a lot of different people, because I haven't felt like this motivated or this locked in at least 4 years. Like, what this break did for me was just let me see everything from a broad perspective, and I can't wait to fuck up everybody who thinks anything less than great of me.
Well, as you mentioned, you are
Jeremy.
You're a dangerous man, and you have the GCW brass ring, and you are returning against Blake Christian, as you just mentioned, who is a longtime GCW world champion, a guy who is on a bit of a losing streak himself recently. So I feel like you're getting Blake kind of a good time, but at the same time, I feel like this is a good litmus test, right? It's like, you're returning. We know you have the title shot in your back pocket whenever you want it. And you can come back and essentially prove yourself right off the bat again against the guy who was just the champion. And it's going to have everyone, you beat him, and it's going to be in everyone's mind like, oh, Cole's like, at any moment, Cole could be cashing this thing and becoming the champion. So, like, is that part of your mindset also, is like, not only are you coming back, like, Blake Christian's a big match to come back to.
Yeah, but I'm also a big match. I'm a big deal. I don't care what anybody says or thinks. When you step in the ring against me, I'm different than anybody else. There's not a style that I don't feel comfortable doing. There's not a situation you can put me in that I haven't been in before that I'm not going to get accustomed to or adjust to. It is a big match weekend. It is not a big match for me. It's not a big match for Blake. It is a big match for us. He's on that losing streak. I'm coming back, looking at the sidelines, thinking that everybody else is just fucking around and playing games. And I'm coming back because I'm tired of looking at all these people just going 50 and a fucking 70. I'm here to go 80. And if you're not going to go fast, you better get your ass into slow lane, because I'm going to run your ass over. So if Blake Christian doesn't show up at 100% this weekend, it's going to be a bad fucking weekend. It's going to be a bad day in the office for Blake Christian. I guarantee you that, because there's not anything that I want more to come back to Atlantic City, my second home away from Bloomington, Indiana, Atlantic City, where I have made my name as an independent professional wrestler against guys like Orrin Vyte, against guys like John Wayne Murdoch, against guys like Drew Parker, against guys like Mance Warner, against guys like Blake Christian. Like, I have gone and stepped up to every fucking challenge that they have put up in front of me, and I have knocked it out of the goddamn park. If you think Blake Christian's going to walk into Atlantic City this Saturday and have a good fucking time, he's dead fucking wrong. He's dead to fucking rights, and I'm gonna fuck him up.
Oh my god, I love it.
Oh, he just left.
I love that.
I was about to compliment him too.
I love that. Let's go, Cole. Cole Radrick's my favorite wrestler. Dude, I'm glad we got him on. That's a hell of a hype up for the return.
I was about to compliment him. Now I'm not going to.
I was gonna ask him a little bit about Alec Price also, his homie with the Garbage Daddies, who's been killing it as well recently. But we will we'll get Cole on the show again sometime in the near future. That's awesome, dude.
If he's still listening, which I don't know if he is or not, but the last couple times he's been on the show, it's been like quick appearances live like that. He's gotta and maybe it's just because he's been on the sidelines with this injury. There's like a real fire and passion that I don't want to say was missing, but wasn't this prevalent, wasn't this fire stoked in the past. Cole's always been very chill and laid back. And now I feel like this injury has brought something out of him that I don't know. I certainly haven't seen before. I don't know if he is realized was in him until now. His last time he was on, he gave this big fired up speech that had us ready to run through a wall. And that was the same thing right there.
Yeah. I know that's been inside him for a while. Like, I just think it was just, you know, last time we talked to him, like I said, it was somber, right? It was like, man, when's he going to be able to come back? Cause we love Cole. Like he's one of our guys, obviously, for sure. You know what I mean? Like he's given us more time than any other wrestler that we,
I mean, you can like him. I still have heat with him.
Oh, right. Of course. But dude, that fired me up. Cause I know he means every word of that. Like, I know he is like, because, dude, I've been saying it for years. I want him to win the GCW championship, and he literally has a key to do it. Like, all he's got to do is cash in that brass ring, and he can become the champion. And, dude, he's going to come back. I'm going to call right now. He's going to come back. He's going to beat Blake Christian. I'm going to make that prediction. I think he's going to beat everybody, and I think he's going to become the GCW world champion. I don't know when he's going to do it, but I think it's going to happen. I really do.
I got a very funny message from him and he misspelled a word or is a typo, so it makes it hilarious. Okay. He's good. He had to run, but he's good.
Yeah. No, I just told him that rule.
Yeah.
Oh no, Cole's the man. But I tweeted out the link too. Hopefully like later on today, our shows, obviously we're so early in the morning. We appreciate when y'all are able to join us. We're so early in the morning that most of the people who watch the show, watch it on demand after the fact. So, hopefully people don't miss what Cole just did there, because I hope GCW takes a clip of that and runs it during his return package or something. Cause that was, man, I am fired up now. What were we talking about? WWE? We're talking about Cody Rhodes. We're forgetting about Cody Rhodes. We can move on from the Cody Roman and Rock stuff, like, and talk a little bit more about Bad Blood. And then,
well, Kevin Owens attacked Cody, yeah. And right. As I said, they didn't want that on camera because Kevin would have gotten cheered, so they did it behind the scenes.
That's possibly the mindset, yeah. I think that's like legitimately probably the main reason I think it was a cool concept, though, how they did it, like, because they did it in an area that they know people were going to be in, because where that took place is literally like a good amount of the people leaving the building had to be in that area to leave. So like they set Cody and Kevin up. Let me put it this way. Mission accomplished. Like, I think that they knew, hey, we'll do it right here. People are going to whip their phones out. We're going to get it. Basically, this news is going to break from fans instead of on the show. And I really like that. It's another wrinkle or layer in this whole, you know, new ownership of the WWE TKO group thing, where like they're shooting things differently with like the drones and the cinematic stuff. And like, this is a part of that to me too, is like just thinking outside of the box and having a major heel turn happen, not even on the show, and relying on the fans to spread the word about it. I think it's innovative, and I think it's very smart. It's cool that they're coming up with new ideas and new concepts and new ways of doing things that, in my opinion, are working really well.
Yeah,
but to your point, I do think part of it was they didn't want Owens to get cheered by turning on Cody. Because the fans do like Kevin, and they've been waiting for him to turn for so long that it would have gotten a pop. So I think you're right about that too.
And it's also because Cody just can't garner.
Dude, you got to get past the trolling on this. Anyways.
The rest of the Hell in a Cell, the open, yeah. Or not the rest of the Hell in a Cell, the Hell in a Cell, the rest of Bad Blood. I said that should have closed. I understood why they went with Cody and Roman, especially because they had the Rock's return. But man, that should have closed. That was by far the best match on the show. And they, it looked like they went out there and just had the mission of like, yeah, we're going to, good luck following this, everyone.
Yeah, by far the best match of the show. I can't say enough good things about what I saw in all of that. I mean, some of those spots were just so nasty, and like Drew getting busted open. I figured it was legit, but I think it was the toolbox, because like he looked like, CM Punk looked like you whacked him with that thing. I'm not even like putting blame on CM Punk. You know what I mean? Like things happen. These guys went into the situation knowing that they were going to probably get injured. They were going to bleed. I mean, they literally advertised that they were going to be bleeding in this thing. So like, you know, and also when Punk got thrown into the cage, I knew he was going to be bleeding coming out of that too. Assuming he bladed, but, you know, cause like in the original Hell in a Cell match, like remember when Sean, it's like a famous spot where Sean gets thrown into the fence by the Undertaker, and he literally blades midair. Like it's like one of the weirdest, like, things I remember finding out when I was younger about wrestling, like not just like the blading aspect, but like somebody clued me in on like how Shawn Michaels had literally done it midair during a match before. So like, so it's one of those things where like, I just kind of, there was little like nods, I feel like, to the original Hell in a Cell match on this as well. Cause this was at Bad Blood, where the original Hell in a Cell, the original Hell in a Cell took place back in 1997, I believe it was, with Undertaker and HBK. So it's I thought the match was awesome. There was that one spot where Drew missed the Claymore and went back first into the edge of the steel stairs. Like that was so nasty. But yeah, this match was great. And, you know, I said it in my predictions. I did it for Wrestle Rumble too. I did choose CM Punk to win the match. And I was correct about that. I thought the finish was really well done with Punk putting the chain around his knee and all that stuff. Like, yeah, I mean, well, it was like a half hour long match, so it's not like we can sit here and like break down everything, but I thoroughly enjoyed it, and I have no problem saying that it was easily by far the best match on the entire show. And if this wasn't in Atlanta, Georgia, and Cody Rhodes and Roman Reigns' country, with Roman Reigns' return to the company and all this stuff, and The Rock coming back afterwards, this match, based on the match itself, it should have been the main event. I'm totally fine with, you know, admitting that, so.
I think The Rock coming back was the bigger thing. You can't do The Rock opening the show. I think if it was just Cody and Roman and you just do a straightforward match, Jimmy return fine, but you're just kind of doing the match, I think you should have opened with it. Again, you got to close the show with The Rock. Like that's the biggest thing. But so I think that's probably why. I mean, I'm fairly certain that's why the tag team match went on last as opposed to opening. Cause yeah, if you're just talking build, if you were just talking match quality, this was always going to be better than the main event. That's no knock on the guys on the main event, but the match structure they were going to have was going to be better than the main event match. And it was, and again, you kind of knew that going in, and the build was much better too than the main event build.
Yeah. I mean, the build for the Hell in a Cell has been going on for like 10 months. So.
Yeah, really since Drew injured Punk at Rumble. That's when it started.
Yeah, which I mean, when Drew, quote unquote, injured. I mean, Punk did get injured, but like, I don't want to put that necessarily completely on Drew, you know. But
no,
you know,
I mean, Drew puts it on himself, so it's, you know.
But that's like storyline-wise, right? That was a freak accident. That was a freak thing. Right. Like, it was just Punk planted wrong on his arm, basically, on the way down from a DDT. I mean, that could have happened to anybody.
Right, but in storyline, Drew.
Oh, right, of course. Yeah, in storyline. Yes.
Yeah, I don't think anybody, if we say, like, oh, Drew injured him, I don't think people are going to be like, you did it on purpose. Like,
yeah.
Drew admits that, like, yeah, I tried to do this. Like, so yeah. Maybe whether there's a little bit of truth, and I don't think Drew actually meant to hurt
him. Sure, of course.
Like yeah. But again, in the world of WWE, Drew said, I prayed for you to get injured, and it happened. So, yes Drew did try to purposely hurt CM Punk. I mean, if we're talking about wrestling, the goal is to try to purposely hurt your opponent.
Yes, very true. Very true. And also, I want to mention that McIntyre cut a really good promo in his car before he drove to Atlanta for the show. So I've been keeping my eye on more of that, too. I mean, wrestlers have been doing that for a while, but I feel like once again, another one of those things with like the new ownership, especially recently, people have been cutting really good promos and doing a lot of stuff to promote the company and stuff like that isn't being shown on the actual show. So just want to throw that out there too. Like I like on pay-per-view days and stuff, I feel like it's worth looking out for wrestlers' social medias and like trying to see if they're putting out little promos and extra information and stuff like that, you know, heading into their big matches. Cause yeah, I thought Drew cut a great promo before the Hell in a Cell. And yeah, I thought they lived up to the expectations, lived up to the hype. I mean, this match, the feud had gotten to the point where they needed a big blow off. Hell in a Cell is like the biggest blow off you can have in the WWE. It's a match that the last Hell in a Cell that I really loved was the Cody Rhodes and Seth Rollins one, because of the spectacle, like seeing Cody with the injury, like fight through that. But in recent years, it had obviously just become like a yearly pay-per-view. Like it's this time of the year, so it's time for Hell in a Cell. And they would just have to like fit, you know, try to fit like, you know, whatever it is, like, you know, square pegs into a circular hole or whatever. And they'd have to like, just try to make things work to be like, all right, well, Hell in a Cell is coming up, so we need to figure out a way of making this a Hell in a Cell match. Things have gotten to a point where there's nowhere else to go. We need to bring in Hell in a Cell to settle the score. And not only that, we're going to bring back a classic pay-per-view that people have wanted back for a long time that also is synonymous with this exact match. So it's like, it's all just made sense. Like none of this felt forced, and it felt like an actual finish to this story and everything. And I don't know how long it'll be before Drew's back, because I don't think, has he been seen since?
Yeah, it wasn't on Raw.
Went on Raw. So, I mean, I know he's got like staples in his head and stuff too. So like, I mean, this would also be a good time for Drew to, you know, maybe step aside for just a little bit, re-heal, regroup, refocus, you know, come back and do something big on his return. And they're already setting up Punk and Rollins going forward, which we expected. You know, I do think that's going to be a WrestleMania match, as it was supposed to be last year. So, yeah, I mean, I enjoyed all of this.
They had to, I mean, Punk talked a lot about leading up, even Drew, but bringing Hell in a Cell back to Hell in a Cell, because it became an annual thing. They did a whole pay-per-view, and it's like, oh, here's the Hell in a Cell for the year. And it did lose some luster. It's just like, all right, well, we've just hit this month, so we got to have a Hell in a Cell match. I like that they haven't done one in a while, and this one, you certainly needed to do it based on the feud. And it was not only you needed to do it, but they made it feel special of, yeah, this is a violent match that takes years off of your career. Instead of, hey, this is a match, but there's this giant cage that we'll sometimes use, and hopefully people pop for the cage spots. They didn't go up top or anything like that, which I was a little surprised at, because once everybody saw the, like, oh, you see the climbing holes in the cage, like, well, they're definitely going to climb. Like, no, it all stayed in the cell, which was good. That's the point of a cage match. That's the point of a cell. I know sometimes, like, it makes for a grander spectacle when you go up top and do all this stuff, but back to the old days of wrestling, the cage is to keep people in and keep other people out. So it was nice that this actually stayed in, and there was no run-ins, because literally every other match had a run-in. Was there anything from the rest of the show? I'm always curious with the live experience, because watching at home, like, it's a 3.5-hour show. There's 5 matches. There's a lot of downtime. And when I was at SummerSlam, and it was this, the same thing. It's a 4-hour show. It's a lot of downtime. But like, when you're there live, the downtime doesn't feel like it's that much, but when you're watching at home, like, it definitely, you notice all the downtime and the commercials and stuff.
So to be fair, first thing I want to address real quick about the cage and then not going on up top. That was a Wrestle Rumble prop question, and like whether or not they would go on the top of the cage. My brother was filling out, I got him a Wrestle Rumble entry, excuse me. And he was filling his out while we were there before the show started. And my brother literally said, because we can see the Hell in a Cell above the, you know, hanging above the ring. And he was like, will anyone go on top of the cell? And he looked at the thing and he goes, CM Punk can't climb that. And he shows no. Which I thought that was pretty funny. But as far as the rest of the show, like the downtime and stuff, I honestly didn't notice it at all, but this is because I was fortunate with the seats that we had where, like, any downtime, I was either running over to, like, the merch stand or, like, getting in, like, you know, getting food or, like, whatever. So, like, it, for me, the pacing was great. It didn't seem like too much downtime. And even, I will say this, it feels like more downtime, like, when I went to Raw most recently in the same building, like, a few months ago, that felt like a lot more downtime because you're also having to account for, like, commercial breaks and, like, people's entrances during commercials and, like, all this other stuff during, like, the TV show. But the pay-per-view pacing, I felt like, at least in my own experience, it felt like good pacing. Like, I didn't feel like I was sitting around, you know, twiddling my thumbs. And even in, like, the quote-unquote downtime, we wound up getting stuff like Bill Goldberg, like, facing off with Gunther and stuff. Like, it was, like unexpected, or like during downtime, like we're showing Diamond Dallas Page in the crowd and everyone's doing, you know, the diamond cutter, everyone's throwing these up with DDP in the downtime and stuff. Like Bill Goldberg's walking around the arena, you know, putting his fists up and people are chanting Goldberg in the down. So it was like they had stuff kind of going on in the downtime that like it didn't feel like a long drawn out thing to me.
Yeah, that's sort of what I experienced at the live shows as well, is you don't feel the downtime as much at home, where it definitely feels a lot more noticeable. Anything else from the show that you want to talk about?
Yeah, I thought Nia Jackson-Bayley wasn't very good, but I really like Nia as the champion. Like, and I think she's improved drastically since her first WWE run before, like, to her return to now. I just don't think the match was very good. Maybe a little longer than it needed to be. And I like both women a lot. I just felt like it didn't click like I wanted it to. Damian Priest and Finn Balor I thought was fine, but like I feel like we could have seen that on like any Raw. But like once again, I like both guys. I'm not really complaining. I just understand that I think a lot of people kind of feel the same way. And then the Rhea Ripley Liv Morgan thing, I think we were all expecting Dom to be above the ring in the shark cage, so it was kind of weird that he was to the side. But I was really surprised when he fell out of that thing and he was hanging by his ankle, and especially for how long he was hanging by his ankle. I feel like that might've been a bit of a mistake. Maybe not, but like, it felt like that was a long time. He was hanging upside down by one leg. And one of the last things my brother mentioned that I remember that I just thought was funny was, so the end of this match fell really flat when Raquel Rodriguez came out and did the attack. And I don't know if they showed this on camera or not, but she actually pulled Liv on top of Rhea after the match was over. And like, everyone was confused because like the match had already been thrown out. But the next night on Raw, I was watching the show. My brother was over again. And when they showed Raquel Rodriguez, my brother goes, "Oh, is that the cooler?" And I was like, "What do you mean?" He was like, "The girl who came out last night and cooled the whole crowd down." Oh. I was like, oh damn, dude. I was like, it was that noticeable to him. That was the lowest point of the show, was like when that happened and the whole crowd was just dead, because like nobody understood what was going on, and everyone loves Rhea and Liv, and the Dirty Dom stuff is like super entertaining. But I feel like that whole thing was just a giant miss and like the lowest point of the show, unfortunately. So there was a lot of like just kind of it was a two-match card. It is what it is. Like the main event and the opener were awesome. And the opener was like incredible. Like the Hell in a Cell was worth going to the show alone. Like just to be in the building for that match was worth being there, in my opinion. But you know, I don't think I'm saying anything that's like too wild or people wouldn't really agree with. It was just, you know, that's honest truth. Opener and the main event were great. Everything else was, I feel like we could have seen on Raw.
When it comes to the shark cage, I actually had this thought before, and it made sense to me of why it was off to the side of, you have the cell. How are you gonna like also string up the shark cage with the cell? Like it never clicked with me of like, that's it, because if you lower the cell, the shark cage is gonna lower. So then the shark cage is in the middle of the ring as well. So I always thought that the shark cage, they couldn't do it above the ring because the cell is above the ring. There's just no way. I just don't think it was possible to, unless you literally put it up in the middle of the show, which so it made sense that it was off to the side. That spot looked very it was obvious that he fell like on his own essentially, and he was supposed to catch and get hung up there. It looked very cool, but he did dangle for a little while there. I assume it was all safe and like they, they pulled it off. Good on them. Yeah, the Raquel Rodriguez thing was messed up because it seems like Liv was supposed to win by through the interference, but the referee, it was so blatant that the referee was like, well, kind of gotta call for the bell here.
Yeah, I think that's, I honestly think that's what happened, was like, that's one of those situations similar to these referees are told, if you're counting a pinfall and the person does not kick out, you got to count to three. Even if it's not the plan, like we can't, you can't wind up looking stupid, or I shouldn't say you can't, it winds up, these things wind up happening sometimes and it makes everyone look stupid, but you know what I mean? Like, I think that was the scenario was, what's the referee can't just ignore that it all happened right in front of him. So he called for the bell. I think that's exactly what happened. And I don't blame the ref on that, by the way,
which is honestly good. Like I'd rather that than, cause it didn't change anything at the finish. Right. If you think about it, like Liv still kept the title, which was the whole point coming out of this anyway. And it still proves Ripley's promos don't really change because her promo was like, you can't beat me. You can't beat me without help. Like, even if Liv had pinned her, it's like, okay, you pinned me at SummerSlam, Dominic turn. You pinned me at Bad Blood, but you needed Raquel. This is even more credence of like, you can't beat me because you needed Raquel here. And she can still kind of focus her energy on Raquel and costing her the match in this way. So it didn't like change anything to where, oh, the title changed. So I'd rather the ref do that and be like, yeah, I'm not going to look stupid here and just ignore all of this than the ref looks stupid. And it's like, well, did you not see all of this? Like, what are we doing here?
The ref probably would have gotten in trouble if you went to the back. They would have been like, you got to call for the bell. Like, we all saw you see it. Like, he probably got in trouble for not ringing the, you know what I mean? Like, he's in a, the ref's in a tough spot for that. Yeah.
I hope Rhea went to the back and was like, that referee tried to fuck on me.
Oh, yeah. I love it. Last thing I'll say about the show before we move on, because we got to do Wrestle Dream predictions here in just a second. I hope we get Bill Goldberg versus Gunther one-on-one. I feel like it's going to happen.
Gunther's promo ruled.
Yeah. Yeah, it did. It really did. Gunther is amazing. He really is. He's up there. He's up there for me, man. Like, obviously, Cody's my guy, and Drew's my number two guy, but Gunther is probably number three for me right now. I mean, like, those are my guys. Like, And I know the Undertaker have been hyping up Gunther a lot, and Undertaker's obviously got very good taste. So, you know. So, anyways, real connoisseur of talent.
Nah, that promo ruled. Those Crown Jewel titles, that whole thing sucks,
dude. So that's weak. I don't even want to get that into all that. I like the idea of champion versus champion is like, it's like a kind of a cool concept, but I feel like we've seen plenty of that in the WWE, and it's like they're only doing it because it's like to appease the Saudi the people. It's the same thing that UFC does. Like, I mean, they even just did that thing, like the sphere was technically like, it was like Saudi Arabia presents UFC Noche at the sphere in Las Vegas. You know, like they're just trying to like have their hand, and I get it, they're doing it with golf, they're doing it with other sports and stuff, I get it, but like that's kind of for them where it's like, we're going to make this feel like a big important event for you guys, like champion versus champion. And they're like, oh yeah, all right. Yeah. That's big enough for us. Champion versus champion. So we have title belts, right? Like that title belt, the Braun Strowman one for the greatest Royal Rumble that nobody ever saw again. Y'all remember that green title belt. So y'all remember anything else about that? Y'all remember the fake Yokozuna in that match? Yeah. All right. Anyway, sorry, go ahead.
See, I'm fine with like, they, you know, they did the best in the world trophy with Shane McMahon. Yeah. And Undertaker won that little gauntlet gimmick that they did. Like, I'm okay with like the one-off gimmicks like that. It is what it is. Doing a champion versus champion match for a title and then we're never going to see this title again, it gets in the way of what else they're doing on the show. And what they're doing for the most part is like good stuff, especially the title scene. Like, yeah. Gunther's got, like, he just beat Sammy, but he's got good feuds kind of ready made. You can jump into something with Sheamus, who just beat Pete Dunne and the Donnybrook. CM Punk, you know, after he beat Drew at in the Strat match, he was like, oh, I'm going after Gunther, but then Drew attacked him. But now I know CM Punk's gonna take a little time off, but like CM Punk's right there as a challenger coming out of Hell in a Cell. Like, Gunther's got a couple guys that can be lined up for him. Cody obviously has all the stuff with Kevin and potentially Randy as well. It's like, why are we doing a Cody and Gunther match as champion versus champion? It that's It's dumb. And the announcement sucked.
I legitimately think it's for the reasons I just said. Like, I just feel like that's...
Oh, that, it is. It 100%
the, is. The Saudi, like, for lack of a better term, the buyers, we'll just call them the buyers, like the people that are paying a ton, millions of dollars to bring the show to Riyadh and everything, like, that's in their mind, because it's like that, they feel like they're getting their money's worth and their value by promoting that. But I completely agree that, like, it's pointless in a lot of ways, because it holds up every ongoing story that you just mentioned, and then also will result in somebody holding a belt over their head one time that we won't ever see again, and maybe see in a video package next year, like heading into the next time they do something like this. That's why I mentioned Braun Strowman's greatest Royal Rumble belt, because like he held that thing over his head, we never saw it again. You know, like, yeah. So I totally agree with you.
Yeah, it's 100% just this is what the Saudis want. So okay, this is what we're gonna do. It's just, it's unfortunate that this is what they've decided to do of champion versus champion with a title that we're never going to see again. It gets in the way of what they actually are doing on television, which again, for the most part has been, especially the top storyline stuff, has been good.
Yeah.
Over 1 million fans and a great number in the demo tuned in. It was a great show. And I think it's been a run of great shows.
AEW Wrestle Dream this Saturday. That's right, it's a Saturday pay-per-view. Thank God for these Saturday pay-per-views, even though it's going to last until 3 a.m. with this press conference. Headlined by Jon Moxley against Bryan Danielson in what could be Bryan Danielson's last full-time match. What are your thoughts on this main event and the rest of the card, which the build has been inconsistent to me?
Yeah, a lot of randomness. Should be a lot of good matches, but
that's never a problem with AEW, right? By the way.
Yes, I feel like you're always gonna get your money's worth for AEW pay per view, like regardless. So, but the main event's interesting, man, because I mean, so obviously they're in Tacoma, Washington. It's just a matter of like, is this it for? Like, they've also been flip-flopping on the stipulation for Danielson. Like, for weeks leading up to yesterday, they were just, or 2 days ago, they were constantly talking about, like, this is his last, if he loses, he's done. This is his last match. But then, like, it feels like on Tuesday, they were more kind of making it clear, no, it's his last full-time match. So, like, I feel like that's even been a little inconsistent with, like, the way that this has been presented. But by the way, this is a good thing that I don't know. Like, this is a really good thing as a wrestling fan that I'm so torn on this, because I feel like Danielson should have a longer run with the title, but I also don't know how banged up he actually is, how much he like needs to take time off, how much he wants to go part time, and it's like his hometown, so it's like this is the perfect time to wrap it up. Like if that's what he wants to do, and they've built this whole thing with Moxley and this new group. I'm like, will Shane McMahon be involved? That's like all the speculation. Remember, who's the higher power involved in the Jon Moxley and BCC stuff? And then you got like Christian lingering with that title shot. So it's like, I'm really, really torn. On the weekend or in my predictions, I just did some quick predictions and I said Danielson, because I don't think that it's, I just feel like it just isn't over yet. But like, if it's going to be over, it's the perfect place to do it. And like, and Moxley, given the history between him and Danielson and Moxley's, you know, what he means to AEW and being a multi-time champion. And like, it always makes sense for Jon Moxley to be the AEW world champion or in that mix, in my opinion. So like, I'm super torn on it. As far as like an actual prediction, I'm going to say Danielson retains and keeps going, but like, it wouldn't surprise me at all if this was Moxley. How do you feel about it?
I've always been under the belief that Danielson was going to lose at WrestleDream, even dating back to before he won the title at All In. I thought that WrestleDream would kind of be the end for him as a full-time, because it's in hometown, home state. And so he gets the send-off of after the show, essentially. He gets the big cheer from the crowd, and everyone kind of recognizes, oh, that's the last full-time match. He'll be back, but that's the last full-time match we're going to see from Bryan Danielson. So I've always been under that belief. I think Moxley winning makes sense for the story, because if Moxley loses, then it's another failed takeover, essentially. And we've It feels like we've done the failed takeover stuff already this year with the Elite. So I don't need another failed takeover with Moxley. You know, at some point, the takeover's got to work. We also had the failed takeover with the Devil stuff that ended up going nowhere because Adam Cole unfortunately got hurt. So at some point, you got to capitalize on, hey, this Renegade group is trying to take over the company. Oh, they need to succeed. So that's why I think Moxley is going to end up winning here. Before Moxley, they did this big turn. I thought that Christian might be cashing in, and that would be the end of Danielson's reign. Danielson wins. I thought he would face Darby. He beats Darby. Christian comes in and picks the bones of Danielson or Darby, honestly. And Christian will win. But now, if Moxley wins, that doesn't make any sense. If Brian does end up winning, I think the Christian scenario is still at play, that he comes in there and beats Brian in front of, again, home state. I assume his family will be there. Don't know that for certain, but that's just my kind of guess. And so Christian can beat him in front of his family. But I think Danielson's losing the title, whether it's Moxley, whether it's Christian. I think Danielson's losing the title on Saturday.
Okay. I think it's totally possible. I'm intrigued. I'll say personally, I would strongly prefer if Mox just straight up beat him than Christian, that Christian scenario. Just me personally, I'd rather see that.
Who do you think, or what do you think is this kind of higher power working with Moxley?
It was me, Austin. It was me all along. It's just the son this time. It's Shane O'Mac. Here comes the money.
Do you really think it's Shane?
Wonder what theme song he's going to have when he comes in. Maybe they'll license something cool for him. I'm going to knock you out. Shorty said knock you out. He's got the hands.
Oh, that'd be great if it was LL Cool J.
Don't call it a comeback. Dude, there's a lot of speculation about it being Shane.
I've seen it.
Yeah, no, I know. I know you have. You've probably seen much more of it than I have. I think that, I don't know. Because I feel like it can't be somebody who's like currently in AEW. It has to, I feel like it's going to have to be, it's not going to be another wrestler from AEW, at least, I don't think. It's going to have to be like a personality that we're familiar with. And Shane kind of fits the mold in certain ways. He doesn't really fit the mold from like a BCC standpoint of like, well, in his own mind it does. Because like Shane, doing the Ollie and all that. Yeah. Like he thinks that he has some of the worst form. I mean, him and Punk are right there with like some of the worst form that you can have, but Punk fancies himself the same thing. But Punk has been in the UFC octagon, to be fair. I saw that. That was another tweet that I thought was really funny. I saw somebody tweet out CM Punk finally got his first win inside of a steel cage owned by the UFC. And I was like, that was pretty funny in the Hell in a Cell. But yeah, I don't know. Someone said Matt Riddle's the higher power. I get the double meaning in that. That's actually kind of funny. I don't know. Yeah, Shane had Raw Underground, like Piledriver Finisher said. By the way, Piledriver Finisher, you win Wrestle Rumble entries pretty often from us, but never hit me up. Like, hit me up on Twitter DMs. Like, I got you on Wrestle Rumble. I just never hear from you in time. Anyways, who do you think? If not Shane, who do you think?
I've been under the belief that it's not a person. It's an idea. It's Jon Moxley's idea of what wrestling should be. And I think that Wheeler Yuta is going to end up turning on Danielson.
I'm with you on that about Yuta. I think you all too.
I think that Moxley, I don't think it has to be a person. I think it's Moxley's idea of like, no, this is what wrestling should be. And he doesn't think Bryan Danielson, even though like they are sort of similar, like he thinks wrestling should be this certain way. And Yuta has always been the whipping boy for Danielson. It's always been, oh, I'm training with Yuta. I'm making him do all this crazy stuff. And for Moxley, it's just like, no, what happened to the dude that I bled buckets with? That's why you got in BCC in the first place. Like, that's the guy I want. Not because you can do like 500 neck bridges. I don't care about that stuff. Like, I want the dude who's going to go out there and scrap and claw and who's not afraid to hit somebody with a hammer. I want the dude who's like, oh, being zen and peaceful and stuff. So that's what I've been kind of steadfast in believing is that it's not a person, it's an idea. All that said, I hope it's Shane McMahon.
Yeah, I'm with you there too, though. I think another person I was actually going to mention this, and I saw Boris in the chat has already said it. Josh Barnett. I don't know if he's a. For me, it makes sense because I'm very aware of like the lore of Josh Barnett. I was a fan of his UFC career. I remember when he got stripped of the UFC heavyweight title. That feels like lifetimes ago, but I remember that happening. And he fits the mold. Like, he definitely fits the mold of someone in the BCC. He fits the mold of somebody who would be a mentor to those guys. Like, I know that John Moxley looks up to Josh Barnett, blood sport and all that stuff. There's a lot of wrestlers that are involved with that. More his pupils, like his like main one of his main pupils is Shayna Baszler, who's obviously in WWE. But like, Barnett has a little bit of history with AEW. That's one where like I don't know if the overall AEW audience, if it would hit how it should, because I don't know if all of them would get it. I would get it though. But I don't think it's him. But you know what I mean? Like me and you would understand because we know the history of Josh Barnett and MMA and in pro wrestling, but like, I don't think he's a big enough name in like the AEW universe for like their overall fan base where like that would, I don't think that would hit like they would want it to. So I doubt that that's it.
I don't know. Like I've seen people say Barnett, somebody in the chat saying, Sammy Callahan, because of the Switchblade conspiracy, trademark that like became official and everything. I don't think that really hits too well either. It's like, oh, okay, Sammy Callahan is the guy. I think Shane is the guy who hits. The problem with Shane is like, why, and my wife pointed this out, why is John Moxley listening to Shane McMahon? Like,
right,
what purpose does John Moxley is like, oh yeah, Shane McMahon has great ideas, I'm gonna listen to this guy to take over the company. I guess it could just be as simple as, well, Shane's paying him a bunch of money, so this is what Moxley's getting. But that's never been Moxley's like style. That's why he came to AEW. It's not like take a bunch of money. It's like, no, I'm gonna do things my own way. So that's why Shane McMahon get for me hilarious, because it's full-on chaos if it's Shane McMahon. But like in John Moxley's personality, he's gonna start listening to Shane McMahon. It doesn't make a lot of sense.
Big man dog says he saw Raw Underground, like then he hit him up basically like Raw Underground was so bad. I actually, if y'all want to find it, I edited a video together years ago, like the day that Raw Underground was. Actually, it was Boston Nuga Ben who gave me the idea. He was like, "Leave the memories alone." So I was like, oh, I got to make a Leave the Memories Alone video about Raw Underground. So if you guys ever want to check that out, I put together a comical Raw Underground video years ago. It's on my X. Just search for it. Just type my name in Raw Underground. It should pop up. But yeah, I don't know, man. There's a lot of ways I could go with it. I think it was, I'm glad you brought up Sammy Callahan, because the whole Switchblade conspiracy and all that, it's, I don't necessarily think it'd be smart for Callahan to be like the mastermind behind everything, the hacker and all that stuff, like of the group. But I do think he'd be a member of the group that makes sense, not necessarily like the leader or the brains behind it, but I could see him joining.
Yeah, Sammy Callahan is like a leader. Can John Moxley, this is why I keep going back to like it's an idea and not a person. John Moxley's not really a guy who, like Regal, it made some sense. Obviously, it's not Regal. But John Moxley, this version certainly isn't a guy of like, oh yeah, I'm going to take orders from you. I don't know.
I'm with you.
Man. Anything else on this card that really stands out to you? It's a loaded card.
It's loaded. And we don't have time to go through all this, obviously. But I would say, Ospreay versus Ricochet versus Takeshita, that should be a great match. I initially thought Takeshita was going to win, but now I'm leaning more Ospreay to retain. I don't know, because like, excuse me, because Garcia, like, and I didn't like Dan Garcia re-signed with AEW too, which, congratulations to him. But one thing about his promo that is a problem for me, and it's not his fault at all, was he was literally like, "All right, now that I'm back and I'm staying, I'm going for a title. Any of them. There's plenty of them here. I'm going for any of the titles. And it's just like, that's such a problem to me. That like, there's so many title belts that just like, you know, put all the title belts on a dartboard, close your eyes and throw the dart. And like, okay, I'm going to go for this title now. Now that said, the international championship, like Ospreay holding that thing, you know, I feel like it holds more value than like the continental championship, for instance. But they are also kind of hot potatoing this thing around a little bit too. So like, it wouldn't surprise me if Takeshita won. And I feel like Takeshita does need a big push. Like he really does, especially because they feel like they kind of dropped the ball coming out of the Omega stuff with him. And like, you know, they could, but I also feel like Ospreay needs to be handled a very specific way also, like as a clear top guy. And if he's not going to be the world champion, he should be the international champion, in my opinion. I don't see Ricochet winning this thing. It's nothing against Ricochet. I just don't see him winning. And we're going to get Ospreay Ricochet again one-on-one at some point in probably the near future, I would guess. And they'll probably have the title on the line. So my guess is that Ospreay actually winds up retaining in this one. But I think it's going to be a really good match. What do you think in that one?
I think Takeshita is going to win. I think he pins Ricochet. And then you can do a singles Ospreay and Takeshita match. I know they did it at Revolution, but I think he wins. The only reason why he may not win, but this kind of applies to Ospreay as well, and I don't know how it works. Like, can the champion be... I'm trying to think back to last year of who the international champion was at the time, but the Continental Classic coming up, and I don't know if the international champion is in that, or if they can be in that, because I think Ospreay and Takeshita and even Ricochet should all probably be in that. And look, maybe they can just as the international champion. Again, I'm struggling to remember who the actual international champion was last year and if they were part of the tournament. I'm sure somebody in the chat has a better memory.
I'm looking right now at Wrestle Dreams card from last year, and I don't think that the title, I would probably was under a different name. I don't see it though. I don't know if they even had the title on the line of last year's show.
Yeah, I'm gonna look up
Orange Cassidy. Probably people are saying Orange Cassidy in the chat now. I do think that it was Orange Cassidy. Sounds right.
Yeah, he was the champion in the Continental Classic, or he was the international champion going into the Continental Classic, but he wasn't in the Continental Classic, right?
No, I don't think so.
Watch us be wrong, and he actually was in the Continental Classic.
They don't need both titles, though. The Continental Classic championship belt itself is pointless. Like, you know, you just, like, they should just win a trophy for winning the tournament. Like, the international championship should just be on the line throughout the thing, in my opinion, but whatever.
Can confirm Orange Cassidy was the international champion during the Continental Classic, was not in the Continental Classic. That doesn't mean they couldn't be this year. It's literally, you have 1 year of history to play off of. So it doesn't mean they couldn't be. It just also doesn't feel like they need to be. It's like, you already got the international title. What are we doing? This is a complaint a lot of people have had with AEW in recent weeks or months. It's like, why is that? Okay, you have the TNT champion. Oh, now he's going after the world title. And you already have, you have the Continental champion, Okada. Now he's challenging for the world title as well. Like, you already have so many titles. Why are champions also facing champions? Like, we don't need all of that.
Henry mentions that they should merge the titles. I've been saying that since the creation of the Continental. I was like, you're literally, I know I've said this literally ad nauseum so many times, but the international championship plus the Continental championship is literally an intercontinental championship. You don't need to split the intercontinental title into two belts. Essentially, it doesn't make any sense. Yeah. So, what else on the show before we move on to our last couple topics?
I think Hologram and Beast Mortos will be great. I hope it leads to a real sustained push for Hologram and not, oh, you're back on Collision on a show that does half the viewership that Dynamite does, and we'll just kind of give you wins and not actually do anything for you. Swerve's return, probably going to lead to Bobby Lashley, if I had to take a guess based on everything that they've set up and everything we kind of know. And Hangman Page and Jay White, I'm very interested in how that plays out, because I don't know if either guy can really afford a loss. I think Jay can handle it a little bit better. I wouldn't I wouldn't beat Hangman just so quickly after the Swerve feud. I think he can, I think they both can afford it in their own way. I just don't know if either, it depends on how it's done, really. I'm glad we're getting this match, by the way, because too often, well, I'll use Brody King and Darby Allin as an example of Darby is very heated up and he probably shouldn't take a loss. Brody's a guy that they basically heat up to lose to Darby, and then he just goes back to House of Black stuff. So I'm actually happy that we're getting two guys like, oh, I don't know if either of these guys can take a loss. Like, somebody can and they'll be fine off of it. I just don't know who is in a better position to kind of take it right now. I think Hangman might be in a better position to take a loss than Jay White.
A couple things about that. One, I don't know if it was just me or if it was just the crowd, but it seemed like Jay White's promo on Dynamite, it was kind of flat. Like, it wasn't getting the reactions that they were probably looking for. It was a little confusing, too, the kind of stuff he was saying. Well,
the problem is, and this is an issue we've talked about 1,000 times, is Jay White, last everyone kind of saw him, was basically a heel.
Right.
And now he's coming back and he's going after Hangman, who has basically been a heel, a face in his own mind. And now, okay, now Jay White gets the return pop and everything. But yeah, he did kind of, Jay White also just kind of cut a heel promo. He's like, I don't want your cheers and stuff. It's like, oh, okay. And then, but he's facing Hangman. And yeah, the crowd, it wasn't a great crowd. There was less than 2,000 people, I believe. So it's not like it was a giant hot crowd for everything.
Yeah. So, I mean, they have those things working against them. I understand that. I will say, as far as a prediction for the show or for that match, there's no way in hell, if it's me, sorry, there's no way in hell that I would have Hangman Page lose, especially coming off of the Swerve stuff. Like, I think there's no chance Hangman Page loses. Also, I think that Mortos versus Hologram will be very good. It was weird that Jake the Snake is his man, like the manager for that group now, though. Like, that whole thing was strange. Like, I like the idea of talent exchanges and trades and stuff in wrestling. Like, I do like that because I you know, it's a real thing that you deal with in sports all the time with people's contracts and talent and stuff. But this was so strange. I'm sure they'll try to explain it, but it's like, how does Jake the Snake trading away Lance Archer, who, by the way, the two of them were a good pair. They just never used them on TV. There was nothing wrong with the two of them being together, in my opinion. I thought it actually worked. They just didn't use them. So, like, you have Jake the Snake give Lance Archer to Don Callis, but then somehow Don Callis has facilitated Dralistico, Roosh, and Mortos to... But he wasn't managing them in the Don Callis family, but he facilitated the move for... And then also, I don't see any similarities between, like, that group and Jake the Snake. But what I think could benefit is that, you know, him as a mouthpiece for those guys, like, I do understand that potentially being a good thing. Like, he can hype the group up in the way that he cuts his promos and stuff and make the team seem really menacing and dangerous and stuff. So, but it was strange. I think the Hologram and Mortos match is going to be good. I've been a long time Black Taurus fan before he was even Mortos. Like, I've always thought that guy was super talented, and Hologram is Aramis, same type of thing. So it's like, I think the match is going to be fire, but I was pretty confused with the whole trades and all that stuff and how Jake the Snake is now their manager and stuff. It just seemed kind of random.
The trade was hilarious to me because, one, Callis got Archer and then immediately put him on the bench because he came out there later in the night and Will Ospreay's beating him up and there's no Lance Archer. You just acquired this guy. Lance Archer doesn't come out to help you or anything. I don't, and this is a problem with AEW right now. I'm going to have a hard time getting invested in this Jake Roberts Roosh pairing until they give me more than 1 week of them actually being on screen together. Because based on everything we've seen with Jake Roberts in the past 2 years, based on everything we've seen with Roosh in the past 2 years, they'll do something cool for a week and then they won't be on television for a month. So I'm going to need them to actually be on television together for longer than 30 seconds before I start fantasy booking. Oh, Jake Roberts can do this, this, and this with them. I just feel like Jake probably won't be on the show anymore. And this was just, hey, we want to get callous with Archer. This is how we do it. And then here's how we make sense of why Jake Roberts would give him up. But then Jake Roberts isn't actually on the show.
Yeah, you're, I mean, that's very possible as well. Sorry, I'm trying to get my camera to focus a little better. But yeah, we can move on to our other couple topics real quick before I got to clock in for my shoot job. I am looking forward to WrestleDream, though. I will be watching it. Also, on Saturday night, there's going to be GCW Art of War Games along with Cole Radrick's return, which we talked to Cole briefly a little earlier in the show. So it'll be a big Saturday. We're recording an interview that afternoon. Unless plans fall through, we should have the Rebel Starbuck on the show. I talked to him the other night, and everything seems a go for that. So we should be recording an interview on Saturday for y'all, and then I'll be watching wrestling, as you will, too, all night for GCW and AEW. So it should be a fun weekend. Can you go to the indie spotlight real quick before I got to go?
I'm going to give a big motherfucking shout out.
Quick indie spotlight before I get out of here. I did talk about this more in detail on the Weekender over on Fightful Select if you want more of a full review of this event. But we had IWC Super Indie 23 over the weekend. It was on, it was on the 5th. The winner of that tournament was Sam Hardway Holloway, who has only been wrestling for a couple years. He trained out of AIW with Dominic Guarini and those guys. And super talented. Got good size. He's only 24 years old, at least according to Cage Match. 6'9" according to Cage Match. He's a big dude who's very talented, very athletic. And he's a guy who I've been covering pretty consistently the last couple years on the Weekender, but only recently realized he's only been wrestling for like 2 years. Like, I thought, like, when I started covering him, he'd been around for a while because of how good he is. And I was like, wait a second, he's only like 2 years in. This guy's going to be a massive star. So get in on Sam Holloway now before the whole wrestling world knows about him, because I do fully believe he will be a major star in a major company in the future. He won this tournament in the way that he went through this. He beat Beef in the opener, hit him with his sit-out choke slam. He wound up beating Elijah, the former Elias, in the semis after like some interference and stuff. And then he beat Zach Nystrom in the finals of the tournament. So I want to give a shout out to Hardway Holloway today, who you can really see all over the place now, but like, I mainly know him from like AIW and obviously doing big things with IWC. So the company, once again, it's International Wrestling Cartel, IWC, and it's Super Indie 23. The show's available on Triller TV Plus if you want to check it out.
There you go. Do you want to talk about these figures, because you're the figure guy, not me?
Yeah, it was kind of a good thing that I'm wrapping up anyway, because there's not a whole lot I can say about it, like, because they're not out yet. Obviously, they just made the announcement, but shout out to MLW. They have a new action figure deal. I believe is it with Galoob itself?
Yeah,
like, with the actual company, right? Yeah. So it's not just going to be Galoob style figures. It's going to be with the actual Galoob company, which is very cool. Galoob made the old WCW figures. I've got some in here somewhere. I'm not close enough to grab them, but if you remember, like, WCW used to be made by Galoob back in the day, and MLW has had some good figures. Like, I've got a signed Cruel behind me right here, who's been on the show and stuff. So it's really cool that MLW is taking the initiative to try to get some quality products out there for the fans. And a lot of these people, it's probably going to be like their first action figures. A lot of the people that are signing these deals with MLW, like, it's people who aren't signed to major companies and maybe have never had an action figure before. So it's going to be cool being able to collect for people that don't have figures out there. And as y'all know, I love to get signed action figures. So it gives me even more incentive as a fan to like buy the figure, go to a show, try to get it signed. Or, you know, if we interview somebody here on the spotlight that has their own figure, I usually, Jeremy knows this because we talk with all of these people after the interviews and stuff, but a lot of the time I'll like, you know, I might buy like a t-shirt from them, or I might, like, if they have an action figure, I'll try to get a signed action figure from them and stuff, just to kind of commemorate the interview and, you know, that I appreciate their time. There's never any kind of, it's never like we're like buying people or anything like that, but you don't know what I mean? It's like one of those things where it's like, hey, I love supporting independent talent.
Yeah, you're supportive. You
know? Yeah, I love supporting independent talent. So, you know, it's even more things that I can support. I want MLW to have action figures. I want GCW to have more action figures. I want independent talent. I want Psycho Boy Fodder to have an action figure because I want to get an action figure signed by him. You know what I mean? Like a lot of the people that have been on the show that don't have figures, I want them to have figures. So yeah, I'm happy that MLW is going to have a Galoob partnership, and I think it's going to be a good thing for the company, and a lot of people are going to probably get their first action figure, which is very cool.
There you go. All right, Jensen, I know you got to run. I'm going to wrap up as well. We have no interview to run.
Oh, that's right. That's right. Well, I'm going to run. You wrap it up. Cause I'm about to be late. So, y'all have a good weekend. Happy Thursday, Skull Vikings, and good seeing you, Jeremy. Good seeing you, chat.
All right, everybody. We'll be back next week talking everything in the world of wrestling. We'll come off of AEW Wrestle Dream and the return or debut of Shane McMahon. Prediction, spoiler, don't know. We shall see. Everything else that's happening in the world of wrestling as well. Look, the background looks so nice when I have like this large shot. Like it's very well cut, honestly. We throw the ones up to end the show. Appreciate everybody hanging out with us. We'll be back next week. Tune in tomorrow to End the Weeds, 10 a.m. Eastern, myself and Joel Pearl. Until then, we'll talk to you later. Bye, everyone.
Just got a free coffee with my EarnIFI points.
Your what?
The points I get with the new EarnIFI app from BP and Amoco. I got 250 for signing up and more every time I fill up or buy anything in the C-store.
Oh, can you use points for fuel?
Of course.
And discounts and deals?
On anything.
Oh, like chips?
Mm-hmm.
Sodas?
You got it.
The actual slushy machine.
Only what's actually for sale. But you do get double the points for the first 90 days. Just go to EarnIFIRewards.com to download the app.
Available at participating locations only. App content is subject to change.